Isaiah chapter 53, and I want to read this entire chapter. I've got a message I want to preach out of the, really a kind of a springboard text from verse 12, but I just couldn't find nowhere to stop and start good in this chapter, but just go ahead and read it all this morning, and this wonderful chapter in the Word of God. I don't see how anybody can read this chapter in the Old Testament and not see Jesus Christ and what He's done for us on the cross of Calvary. You see, that's really the thing that was going on there in the book of Acts. Amen? The eunuch was reading that. If you would stand as we read the Scripture, the eunuch was reading there in Acts, and the Bible tells us that he was asking who this was. Was this talking about Isaiah? Was it talking about some other prophet? No, it was talking about Jesus. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Excuse me. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Amen. Brother Johnny, would you listen to prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for this time together in worship, honor, and glorify you. We pray, Lord, you just hide the preacher behind the cross. Lord, give the message you have us to hear, Lord. Apply it to our hearts, and let us apply it to our feet as well, Lord. Go out and do what you'd have us to do with this message today, Lord. We pray, Lord. Pray that you let this church and its members always be a lighthouse pointing unto you. We pray, Lord, for those that are sick, Lord, those that are in the hospital, Lord. We pray that you just continue to bless and touch and heal, Lord. There's lots of traveling going on, back and forth, from holiday and hospital visits, Lord. We pray that you just give everyone traveling mercy, Lord. Give us strength to go on and do the things you'd have us to do, Lord. Just keep us together strong and faithful.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in Isaiah 53, no doubt, as we said, a familiar passage of Scripture, but I really want to draw your attention to one thought there in verse 12, and to preach a message from this verse. But you know, as I read over this and began to think, I said there wasn't really anywhere to stop and start when you read a lot of this passage, and especially concerning the thought I want to give you this morning. I used this verse in a message, I guess maybe on last Sunday, thinking about where it talks about that he hath poured out his soul unto death. The Bible says there that he poured out his soul unto death. But throughout this Scripture, almost every verse reveals something about how the Lord sacrificed for us. That's what this whole chapter talks about, the Lord's sacrifice. In fact, a title of some Scripture says here the vicarious sacrifice of Christ, Jehovah's servant. Hey, think about this. All through this passage, it talks about, you know, he was numbered with the transgressions. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He made his grave with the wicked. And you just go on and on as you see that the Lord just gave of himself. He was smitten of God. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was a man of sorrows. Just all through this chapter, you can see the wonderful sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. In fact, we can see that his soul, as it says, was poured out unto death. Well, the title for the message this morning is Things That Are Poured Out. Things That Are Poured Out. And there's a few different places we want to look in the Word of God about some things that are poured out, and maybe that should be poured out or have been poured out, and that are a blessing to us, and as we see in the Word of God clearly. And I couldn't help but think as I got that title, and I started looking at that, and I said, it kind of sounds like, and my grandma used to love to watch some of those game shows. I think she went on to be with the Lord before they had that game show network, or she'd have really liked that. And she watched different game shows and everything. And just as soon as I come up with that title, my mind went to a game show. I believe it was a $25,000 pyramid or something like that. But every one of their titles had something to do with things, you know. Things that are this and that and the other. Things that are whatever, you know. And so my title kind of goes along with a game show thing, but it ain't got nothing to do with that, okay? You say, preacher, you didn't even have to say that. You know, you was thinking that and you didn't have to say that. Well, you know, I had to go ahead and get it off my mind. Things that are poured out, okay? Top five answers on the board? Oh, mercy. Well, that's the poem. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way or whatever. First of all, you see here in the Scripture, about Christ and the shedding of His life's blood. I want to say His blood in atonement was poured out for us. His blood in atonement was poured out for us on Calvary. What a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us in this chapter in the Word of God. Like I said a while ago, I don't see anybody could look at this chapter and not see the darling Son of God. How could they look at this chapter and not see the Lamb of God that was given for your sins and my sins? In fact, the Bible tells us the first statement that was made of Him as He began His earthly ministry was that John the Baptist looked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And one of the last things we read about Him in the book of Revelation is that He was a Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We see Him as the Lamb of God that poured out His life's blood. The Lamb of God that took your place and my place on a hill called Calvary, praise God. And His blood was given in atonement for us. His blood was poured out there at Calvary. Sometimes we use maybe mistakenly the word that He spilled His blood. He didn't really spill it. He gave it. Amen. He poured out His blood. There wasn't no mistake there on Calvary. There wasn't no last ditch effort to redeem mankind. But it was in the plan of God from the foundation of the world. Like we think about and read about the scars in His hands or as slain from the foundation of the world. It was in the plan of God that He would give of Himself, that His blood would be poured out in atonement for us. Hey, listen, at the altar of Calvary, His blood was poured out for us. And if there's a beautiful passage of Scripture that tells about His sacrifice and what He's done for us is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Throughout the book of Hebrews, there's just a continual putting together the picture of the Old Testament. Like we said the other week, you know, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. What beautiful pictures in the Old Testament of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. What beautiful typology many times of Him giving of Himself and pouring out His life's blood. Every lamb that was slain, every goat, every bullock that was slain, every sacrifice that was given, every blood that was shed in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ. It pointed to the Calvary, praise God. It pointed to when the Lord was going to give that ultimate sacrifice on Calvary's hill. Excuse me. In chapter 9 and verse 12, the Bible tells us neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ain't that something? With his own blood, praise God, he obtained eternal redemption for us. His blood was poured out there at Calvary. Think about that holy place. Think about as they went in, entered in many, many times, year after year. And every time, it didn't totally take away the sins of mankind. It was for the sins of the people. It was for all the sins of the people. But every time that a lamb was given on that day of atonement, it only pushed forward to the cross. It only looked forward to the cross. And their sins wasn't covered but until the next year. And the next year, they did it all over again. And the next year, they did it all over again. But thanks be to God, one time Christ came and at the once in the end of the world, the Bible says, to once come and give his life a sacrifice, once come and pour out his blood that we might be saved, praise God. Hebrews 9:12 tells us that not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. And then down in verse 14, he goes on to say, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How much more can we think about his sacrifice? How much more can we think about that example of Jesus Christ given of himself? Oh, that ought to encourage every one of us. I mean, it ought to first of all make a shout, praise God, and give him glory and honor that we're saved to start with. Amen. But what a beautiful picture it is of our service before God. Sometimes folks do something for the Lord and they give sacrificially and they give of their time and they give of their talent and they give of their money and they pour out their life before God. And boy, that's a blessing. That's a wonderful blessing. But you know the only reason they can do that, they look back to what Jesus Christ has done for them. And they say, oh, what else? I mean, what else could I do? But just pour out my soul before the Lord. What else could I do but dedicate myself to God? Think about old Apostle Peter, and as we talked about him this morning in the Bible school lesson, and think about him that he had dedicated himself to God. He said, I'm just going to do the will of God. I'm going to follow after God and his direction and his plan for God's will for his life. Was that he wasn't going to marry and he was going to continue to just give of himself till the day he died for Jesus Christ. And oh, what a blessing to see somebody that's dedicated to God and serving the Lord and living for the Lord. Amen. Thank God. We thank much in prayer for Sister Teresa, but you know, hey, a lot of times Sister Teresa would come into church and everything, and I believe she's an example of somebody that's poured their life into serving the Lord, living for God. And sometimes she comes and you can see her just not feeling the best in the world, but she came anyhow. And not able to breathe too good, but she came anyhow. Praise God. I tell you what, and many others, we come and I know the devil's fought you getting here this morning. Hey, man, I tell you what, look at the weather outside and everything. We could have said, my goodness, I'm just going to just stay there in bed and, you know, and it's all raining and everything. Like what Brother Hamrick said this morning on his radio program. I heard him this morning. He was talking about the rain and everything. He said, if you're a Baptist, you done been baptized. Don't be scared of that water. Just get on out there and go to church. Amen. Just get in the house of God. You know, it might not work too good for the Methodists. I don't know. But or maybe they can look out and it's just sprinkling. They'll be all right and just come on. Amen. Just come to the house of God. But we need to be faithful to God's house, and we need to be there and serve Him and do what we can for Jesus Christ. But what an example, looking at the Lord. He poured out Himself. He gave of Himself that we might have everlasting life. Praise God. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Now that's what it says in your King James Bible. If you got something that don't say that, well, you need to junk it. Amen. Because we believe in slaughterhouse religion. We believe just about like the book says. We believe that Jesus Christ gave His life for ransom, and it's by His blood that we're saved by the grace of God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Amen. Folks, in this modern day, and oh, it's been for a long time really, but it just gets worse and worse, and the devil's got a new trick around the corner for the next day and age, I know. But, you know, for a long time, folks have said, tried to take the blood out of the Bible, and they've tried to take the blood out of the song books, and they just fail to sing those songs anymore and everything. But I tell you what, that's a sad day. That's a sad day, because I can't even understand how a person's saved by the grace of God if they don't realize and understand that it was by the blood of Jesus Christ that we're saved. I remember as a preacher, and I won't call his name because I can't remember it right now. If I remember it, I'll call it, I reckon, or give you his initials anyhow. But this preacher, he was telling his song leader, he said, "I don't want you to sing those songs about the blood anymore." And he pastored a church between here and Shelby, and he said, "I don't want you to sing those songs anymore in the church." I said, "My goodness, I think I'd be leaving. I think I'd be praying for that preacher to get saved if that was the situation." Now, I don't understand that, my goodness. There was another preacher, and his initials is John MacArthur. But he preached one time up in Chicago at the Moody Church. And under God, D.L. Moody had preached there, and great men of God had came through that pulpit, and they had preached about the blood of Jesus Christ and preached. And he come up there one time from the Bible Institute, and he told them folks, he said, "It's not through the blood of Jesus Christ that you're saved." That's what he told the whole crowd. He said, "It's not through the blood that you're saved. It's through His death that you're saved. He could have died anyway. It doesn't matter." Lord God, what Bible is he reading out of? Amen. I don't know, but I'm going to stick with this old King James. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. Throughout the Scripture, it tells us that He poured out His blood. His life's blood was given for us. And I know He come back and tried to make a retraction of that and tried to backstep out of that, but I don't understand it. All throughout the Bible, you can't even find the words interchanging themselves. The word for death is a thanatos. And the Greek words found for death through the Bible is thanatos. The word for blood is hyma. It's where we get the word hemoglobin and things like that. The Greek word for blood is hyma in the Bible. But it's in there. I mean, it's in the Word of God. Why do you want to take it out? Like I was preaching last Sunday. If Jesus is in there, leave Him in there. Amen. If Christ is in there, leave Him in there. Amen. Listen, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Praise God for that blood. Thank God for His own blood that was given. Thank God for the atonement that was given at the altar of the cross. Praise God. Things that are poured out. Amen. Second of all, let me give you another thought about something that's poured out. And we can preach a good while on that. But let me give you another thought. The Bible tells us about the blessings in salvation that are poured out. There's many blessings in salvation that are poured out. We just came through this Thanksgiving season. And boy, what a time to thank God and give Him glory and give Him praise. Somebody sent me an email. I wish I'd had that before Thanksgiving. I'd have read it. And maybe I should have brought it this morning and read it. But told about how two or three different places across the country they talked about Thanksgiving and trying to institute it and get it started. And what George Washington said about Thanksgiving. And man, I mean, it was just rich. It was all talking about the goodness of God. It was all talking about God. It might be politically incorrect now, but it wasn't politically incorrect in this country to talk about God. It hasn't been down through the years. In fact, it's been right to always talk about God and give Him glory and give Him thanks and praise that's due His name. Amen. It's still good, ain't it? That's what we should do. We should give Him praise and glory for what He's done. But I noticed as I was studying this, I want to look at a few verses in the book of Isaiah as we go, and you can turn to those if you want to, but Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 8, we see some thoughts about salvation and about it being given to us and poured out, if you will. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 8, it says, "Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness." Listen to that. He said, "Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it." God says, I've made a plan for you. I've given my life for you. But not only that, because I've given my life for you, you can now have salvation. You can now be justified. You can now be made right in the sight of God. Blessings and salvation. And we could preach there a good while. Thank God for His blessings. I mean, salvation brings a super abundant blessings from the Lord. I think about how that God is able to answer our prayer. And we talk about all those different ones that are sick and everything. We need to bring them up before God in prayer. God's able to answer prayer. Amen. I mean, sometimes it may seem like a small thing. Sometimes it might not seem like much. And we was on the way back from Thanksgiving up there in West Virginia. And where Joshua at? Oh, good gracious. Anyhow, Joshua, it's a good time to talk about him then. But Joshua had left something up there as we was traveling and everything, and not in West Virginia, but at a restaurant. And my goodness, he left some kind of game thing. What is it? DS? Anyhow, he had left it there and went just, and we didn't even think about it and everything until we got away from there, and we turned around and went back, and it was gone. I mean, that guy, it was gone. I said, well, you know, I tell you what you can do. And my mother told me, said, now, Lord God, it's going to be a long time before you can ever get anything like that again. And said, you're going to have to earn money to buy you another and all that stuff. And we told him all that, but we told him too. I said, I tell you what, we need to just pray. Now, it might not seem like nothing to need to pray for or whatever, but, you know, it wasn't your $200 or $300 that bought it. It was ours. So we was praying hard. and you know, we just said, let's just pray about it, you know. And he said, well, you know what? He had one thing that he brought from that restaurant. He had a track. He said, I was in the bathroom. I found a track from the Fellowship Track League. I said, well, praise God. Hey, some Christian been through there. I said, it might be a Christian and pick up your DS. Don't let's just put it in the hands of the Lord. And we actually had her address on it. Didn't have no phone number. And actually, Mel said she wrote her. He marked her name off of it. So I don't even know how the fella got her phone number, but a guy picked it up and drove all the way to Louisville, Kentucky with it, and then called us on the phone last night and said, I've got it. And Mel's a shouting on the other end and everything. She said, listen, I'm a pastor's wife, and we was just a-praying that, you know, it somehow it'd fall in somebody's hands, and they'd be honest and call us and send it back to us. And he said, well, actually, I'm a Baptist preacher. Over in Louisville, Kentucky. And said, I know we're going to send it to you. He said, don't even worry about the postage. We're going to pay for it and send it to you. And ain't that something? You know, like I said, it might be something small, you know. But you know what? God gives us some blessings, and God answers prayer. If we just believe Him, trust Him, there's some super abundant blessings in just believing the Lord. And He said, I want you to tell your son one thing. He said, I want you to tell him that just don't never forget that God answers prayers. Amen. He said, that'll be enough of a lesson right there. Amen? Amen? God can answer prayers, can't you? Amen? Ain't that good? Praise God. We all just take time out right now and just run around the building. Amen? Praise God. Listen, all throughout the Scripture, He talks about the blessings of God, the benefits of God, and we ought to thank Him for His blessings. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 19, It tells us there, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Scripture tells us in, and I was trying to find stuff about poured out, you know. I saw about poured out, things that are poured out, top five answers, you know. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 talks about something being poured out, don't it? Amen. Boy, I knew you'd be quiet. I just said Malachi and it just got quiet. And then when I said 3, it got quieter. And then when I said verse 10, it got quieter. But you know what the Scripture says? Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. In fact, as far as I know, throughout the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, I don't know anywhere else in the Bible that it says, if you do something, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, we might use that a lot. I've heard people say, boy, we had a good service. Amen. I mean, we was a shouting. God really poured out His blessings. And my question is, how many tithers did you have in the building? Amen. Now, it might be right if you had a bunch of tithers in the building that he poured out his blessings, because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says we'll give and we'll do what God wants us to do. Do what God tells us to do in his word. Praise God. And then the Lord opened up the windows of heaven. He says, prove me by trusting me and yielding to me. And I'm going to do exactly what I said I'll do in my word. Amen. What a blessing. Hey, not only that, but amen. I didn't dwell on there. Okay. I like what C.H. Spurgeon always said. He said it takes three books to run the church. It takes the Bible and the hymn book and the pocketbook. Amen. And thank God. God's blessed our church here. I know that down through the years. God's blessed the church to be a tithing church. And church has stood upon that. Praise God. Ain't had no hot dog sales, cake sales, bake sales, any of that stuff to take care of the operation of the church. And that's the way it should be.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. You see a lot of these churches, hot dog sales, bake sales, cake sales. They full of non-tithers. Amen. They got a lot of non-tithers that have to make up for that. I mean, I've heard people talk about it, say, oh man, I wish our people would tithe and everything. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. Amen. Preach it a little more. Amen. Tell the truth. Tell the word of God and preach the Bible about tithe. And that's what's supposed to take care of the operation of the church. Then, not only that, but we see some blessings poured out. We see the blood of Christ poured out in atonement. Not only that, we see His Spirit poured out. We see His Spirit poured out in power. In Isaiah chapter 44, and it talks about being poured out here. In Isaiah chapter 44, and down verse 3, he says, I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring. He said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And God's done that. I believe that on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit of God baptized the church in the body of Christ, and His Holy Spirit indwells a believer. And I believe, praise God, if we want to be filled with the Spirit of God, we can do so. It's a commandment of the Scriptures that we be filled with the Spirit. I'm not talking about something crazy. I'm not talking about, and I don't believe that the evidence of you being filled with the Spirit of God is speaking in tongues. I believe a good evidence of it, you'll be a witness for Jesus, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
That's right.
Amen. It says in Acts 1, 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, because the Holy Spirit's been poured out. His Spirit is poured out, praise God, in power. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, well, after all this happened, boy, they started looking around, what's going on, what's happening? And Peter began to preach to them, and praise God, God blessed, and there was thousands that got saved. But notice what he said in Acts chapter 2, in verse 16, he said, this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. He said there, this today is what God said in His Word in the book of Joel that would come to pass. He said it's coming to pass right now. It's being fulfilled right now. It was fulfilled, starting to be fulfilled in the book of Acts, in the early church. It was fulfilled there that the Holy Spirit of God was poured out upon His people. And God blessed in a great way, and He still is today if we'll only yield to Him. I think about what the Scripture says in Ephesians 5:18, and it seemed like a couple different messages we preached, especially this past Sunday morning. I preached about a song of thanksgiving, and a couple different messages I preached lately, I especially emphasized on those. You might say the fruits of being filled with the Spirit of God, where it says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But you know, the Bible says there in verse 18, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. I tell you what, we got some Spirit-filled Christians. God's going to bless our church and use our church. You got a Spirit-filled family. God's going to bless that family and use that family for the glory of God. I think about old Zacharias and Elizabeth, and how did God touch them. And the Bible tells us about both of them that they were filled with the Spirit of God. And even, the Bible even tells us about John the Baptist while he was in his mother's womb that he was filled with the Spirit of God. You say, well, explain that. I can't explain that. But just, you just know that God called him and God had separated him from his mother's womb. And he was filled with the Spirit. And then, praise God, we find that his dad was filled with the Spirit of God. And that's when God loosed his tongue again, that he could talk and he could speak. Ain't that a blessing to see a Spirit-filled family, praise God, that lets the Holy Spirit of God lead their life, and a Spirit-filled church, praise God, will give honor and glory to God. Some things that are poured out. The blood, his blood in atonement, his blessings in salvation, his Spirit in power. And then not only that, think about our heart being poured out in prayer and adoration before God. And we've already talked about this a little bit. But in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 16, the Bible says, Lord, in trouble have they visited me. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. He said, even in trouble they visited me. You know, I wonder, we think sometimes, you know, we go through some troubles and trials and tribulations, and we think they ain't nobody knows what we're going through. And maybe in a sense that's true. We haven't, you know, somebody else hadn't walked in your shoes. And then maybe somebody has went through something similar to what you're going through, and they can be a help and a comfort to you. But you think about this. I wonder how many times we get in trouble. God's just kind of there in heaven, leaning his ear down, waiting to hear from his child, waiting to hear from us, because he wants to help us when we get in trouble. Amen. I tell you what, I know that, you know, when there's something going on, we hear, we always say, we talk to both our boys when the school's out, and we ask them what kind of day you had in school, and sometimes we kind of cringe and wait to see what points they lost and what happened and if they got into any fights or anything and what happened, you know, what transpired. In fact, one day this past week, we picked up Jonathan early, said he was sick. But he didn't say also he was in a fight at school. We didn't know about that till later, till after I was leaving from the school with him. But you know when your kid's in trouble, you want to know what happened. Amen. I mean, and I just found out about it, called my wife, and she called the school back, and I mean, we got to the bottom of it. Amen. If we needed to, we'd have went over there to the schoolhouse and got to the bottom of it. Amen. I mean, you know, when your kid's in trouble or something happens, you want to find out. I mean, it's your youngins. Amen. Praise God. And you want to help them, you know, if you can. I mean, you want to lead them in the right direction, but you want to help them. And then they get in some bad trouble. And I know that, you know, sometimes they deserve exactly what's coming to them. But you still want to be a help to them because they're in trouble, you see. Boy, ain't that the way God is? I'm sure he's like that. Think about the love we have for our kids and how we want to help them and how we want to see them do right. How much more the God in heaven looking down on his children says, hey, you're in trouble. I'm waiting to come by with my strong arm and help you and lift you up and take care of whatever trouble you're in. Ain't that a blessing? Hey, I tell you what, the psalmist, he knew about getting in trouble. They talked about it many times, about being in trouble. But he said, Lord, hey, Lord, you visited me in your trouble. Isaiah says that. He said, Lord, in trouble you visited me. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 62 about trusting in him. He said, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge. He's there to help us, praise God. The Bible tells us, and we... I often quote this verse in Psalms 46, says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. When the troubles and the things are happening in our life, and I tell you what, a lot of times them youngins, they know mom and daddy's gonna do something. I mean, they know mom and daddy's gonna do something to help them get out of the trouble that they're in. And I tell you what, we all realize the Lord is standing there with his strong arm to help us get out of what's a situation in our life. We ought to have that adoration, that love. Our heart ought to be poured out in prayer and adoration. He's a strong help in a time of need. The Bible tells us in Psalms 107, verse 9, for he satisfied the longing soul and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Tell you what, there's nobody knows your heart but God. There's nobody knows your heart but the Lord. I was thinking about somebody had, well, we were talking about somebody had put something out there, and I forget what it was, but anyhow, they were trying to say about themselves and say something about themselves, and they said, you know, that don't judge me or something like that. Don't judge me by the way I look. Well, that's the only thing I can see. I can't see inside of you. Amen. Is that right or not?
Right.
Amen or old me. I mean, think about yourself. You know, you look on the outside there. And that's all we got to see. We ought to have a testimony that's pleasing before the Lord. We ought to have Lord God, if we have to look through the mess that's on the outside, we can't see on the inside. God's the only one that can see on the inside. And I'm not. You know, I believe, you know, somebody can be right on the inside and things be messed up on the outside. But I also believe the Holy Ghost, God, can convict you of sin too. And you might not never yield to it and listen to God and get things right. I don't know. But I think if the Lord's on the inside, He's going to show up on the outside too. Amen. But I tell you what I'm trying to say is, you think about it. Somebody says something, makes a statement like, I mean, you know, there's some things, you know, we look at and we say, well, you know, I mean, maybe we're wrong on looking at a judgment like that on. I know that. But what I'm saying is, that's all that we can see. I can't see inside your heart. We ought to be a testimony to this world. We ought to be a testimony to point folks to Jesus Christ. They ought to be able to see Jesus in our lives without taking having a search warrant and looking at everything going on in our lives. They ought to see some Christian character in our lives. But I tell you what, the Lord, He's the one that knows that heart. And just as well, you know, somebody can look good on the inside, and they can be rotten as a devil look good on the outside, excuse me, and be rotten as a devil on the inside too. We know that. But what I'm trying to say is, the Lord knows that heart and that soul. If we'll pour it out before Him, He can hear and answer prayer. And then last of all, let me give you this, and this kind of goes along with some thoughts already, and maybe that, but in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 25, the Bible says, therefore, He hath poured upon Him the fury of His anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set Him on fire round about. The Lord talked about something being poured out there of the fury of His anger. I want to say that His blood is poured out in atonement. His blessings is poured out in salvation. His Spirit is poured out in power. And our heart can be poured out in prayer and adoration. But last of all, let me say, don't forget that God's wrath is poured out in judgment. God's wrath is poured out in judgment. I'll never forget reading after, and I never heard him preach the sermon before, but I know that he was at a church in Gastonia up on Franklin Boulevard one time and preaching. I seen an elderly man that had been there back in the 40s, I think it was, that R.G. Lee came and preached at a church up there on Franklin Boulevard. And he preached that message that he preached all across the country. Payday, someday. And his old message about Jezebel. And Ahab and Jezebel. And he preached that message. He talked about, you know, how the wheels of God's judgment turn. Now, they may turn slowly sometimes. And we may look at it and say, boy, you know, why don't this happen? Why don't that happen? Don't worry about it. God's judgment is going to be poured out. God's wheels of judgment may turn slowly, but they do turn. Payday, someday. You're not getting by with nothing with God. What you reap, you're going to sow. Amen. That's the reason we ought to sow to life everlasting. God's judgment is going to be poured out. His wrath is going to be poured out. I said before, concerning this election, we may get more of the wrath of God and less of His mercy this time. I don't know. But I tell you what, we deserve the judgment of God. As a country, we deserve the judgment of God for sins. We touched on that this morning in the Bible school lesson. It doesn't matter what the world says or what the world thinks or how Hollywood has brought us slowly into accepting another lifestyle. There is still something that's been instituted by God called marriage, and it's between a man and a woman. It's not between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. It doesn't matter if there's a civil union that every state in the United States is going to agree to. It's still not biblically correct. It's still unnatural. The natural attraction is for a man and a woman, for a male and a female to be attracted to each other. But throughout the script, throughout the history of our country, we've just continued to get further and further away from God. And I've heard people say this statement many, many times, and I don't know if it's, I guess really, you compare Scripture with Scripture, I guess it is a scriptural statement, but it's not per se in these words in the Word of God, but somebody said if God doesn't judge America, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
You're right there, brother.
But you know, I guess really, I mean, it's wicked and it's bad, but I tell you what, it really is not as bad as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah yet. And it's not as bad as what it was in the days of Noah yet. But you think about it when God takes this church out of here. Amen. You think about it when the rapture takes place and the church is gone. Oh, how much worse do we see a decline? And how much worse are we going to see a decline before the Lord comes? I can't see much how it can get much worse, really. But I tell you what, we deserve the judgment of God as a country, as a nation, and across the world in many places. But you know what a blessing it is to know that just as much as He's a God of judgment, He's also a God of love. And I tell you what, I want to be on the right side of Calvary, amen? I want to be on the side of Calvary that's been covered in the blood, praise God. I want to be on the side of Calvary that knows about the blessings of salvation that's poured out, about the Spirit of God that's been poured out, about His blood that's atoned for my sins, and to know that He's a God that hears and answers prayer. Amen? Amen. Ask the musicians to come around. Lord knows your heart. Things that are poured out. I wonder, are we poured out on the altar of sacrifice ourselves? I wonder, are we poured out in praising Him and thanking Him as we should? Have we poured out our heart before God in prayer and adoration as we should? The Lord knows your heart. Everyone stand if you would. Whatever the need might be, if you just want to come around and pray, just obey the Lord this morning. Amen. Good to be in God's house. Hallelujah. Thank God for a place we can come and worship. Thank God for a place we can come. Give Him glory and honor. And see something from the Word of God. It'll be an encouragement to us to go on a little further.